But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, folks from Louisville. You caught us out here again in right in the beginning of our morning escapades. In fact, my plan was to do this from the van. I just jumped out here the last minute. I thought we were going to be already heading to the clinic. We were scheduled to leave this morning at 6:30. It's about a 20-minute drive downtown. We were going to leave at 6:30, but like everything else, I'll let you see behind me here. When you're herding a bunch of people, see them back there? You don't always get away at 6:30. We have free breakfast here at the hotel where we're staying, so everybody's trying to eat breakfast at the same time. It's chaotic. So what you see going on behind it, right back there, is all those people that we have with us who are, some are already out on the streets, already doing different things. So the marching orders are going right back there, big team prayer. Everybody gets together, does the team prayer back there, and then we're going to load up in our vans and our cars, and we're going to head down to the last remaining abortion clinic in the state of Kentucky. I'm going to say that again, because I always forget that a lot of times people tune in, they tune in and for the first time, or maybe somebody shares the video with them and they don't have any idea what's going on. My name is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. We run, my wife and I run Pass the Salt Ministries out of Columbus, Ohio area. We have a group called the Salt and Light Brigade, where we actively try to take men and women to the streets. We believe that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. Right now they're calling the meeting off, so you're going to watch the people. I'll let you watch them begin to disperse and go to their cars now. And so we're on the streets here in Louisville, Kentucky, because here in Kentucky, there's Gary Pierce, good old Gary. There's only one abortion clinic left in the entire state of Kentucky. It's here in Louisville. And what the reason we're here, the reason this is so unique, is Governor Matt Bevin, who, by the way, Governor Bevin's wife, I'm sorry, I said that wrong, his sister is one of us. I mean, not literally one of us here today, but she's a rescuer. Matt Bevin has a whole history himself in the pro-life movement. And I'm always careful when I use that term pro-life, because, you know, people sit in the pews and don't do anything, vote for Republicans. They think they're pro-life. So when we're talking about pro-life, we're talking about those who are really, really actively involved in it. Well, Governor Matt Bevin, look at these guys coming here. Look at these folks. They're just coming like ants. They're in trouble downtown. They're coming out like ants now. We're all loading up, getting in our cars. Governor Matt Bevin, let me connect another dot to you that you probably didn't know. Governor Matt Bevin was elected governor a couple years ago, and one of the main reasons they credit with Matt Bevin being elected governor, it was an upset win for him, by the way. One of the reasons he won, if you remember the whole Kim Davis debacle, remember Kim Davis was the county clerk who refused to marry homosexuals? Well, we went down there. We raised all kinds of cane down. I could tell you that story some other time. And Matt Bevin was running in the primary, and he upset. He came down there with us, and he stood, and he fought for Kim Davis's right to be able to not marry. Rusty, stay here a minute. Not to marry the homosexuals. And because of that, Matt Bevin got elected governor. And Matt Bevin is one of us, man. He really is one of us. Now, he's in a tough position because, you know, he's the governor, and he has to make the tough decision. But there's some real history with this guy. Here's one of the dots I'm trying to connect. Look at all these young people coming. Folks, listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. We're impacting history. We're impacting the culture. We're doing that. Because we came down here with Kim Davis, Matt Bevin is now governor. You say, oh, Coach, you're always trying to take credit. Well, I'm not trying to take credit for everything. I'm just telling you the truth. That something happened down here in Kentucky when they found out that courts don't make law and people were awakened. And Matt Bevin came out of nowhere to win the governorship. So, and then Matt Bevin, I'm losing track of time here, a couple, 7-8 months ago, issued an executive order here in the state of Kentucky that the last remaining abortion clinic had to be shut down for health reasons. They were violating health codes. So Governor Bevin ordered it closed. Well, we know what happened next, right? Federal judge steps in and says, no, you can't do that. It hurts women, yada, 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 yada. So the governor's already ordered the thing closed. And we're just down here to encourage the governor to stand up and defy the tyrants and not paying any attention to them. We had a great speech last night from Matt Tuella, who's down here, spoke on the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. It was been a great first day. We spent all day yesterday at the court, the federal court. Let me paint this picture to you. The city and the state of Kentucky has no problems with what we're doing at the abortion clinics, none. But wouldn't you know it, the feds jump in and stick in their ugly nose in there. They got to control everything, don't they? So they try to get a temporary restraining. Well, first of all, they charged Rusty and the 10 others with the face violations. And are we ready to go? Okay, we're waiting for a couple. Rusty and 10 others with face, federal access to clinic entrance is a federal offense. They charged them with that. And then they tried to get a temporary restraining order against us being able to be outside ministering outside the clinic. And that's what the hearing was about yesterday at the federal court. So we all showed up outside the federal courthouse yesterday. Not all of us. Some went to the clinic, some went to the hospital. I'll show you some of the things that we're doing down here. But yesterday, the trial went on all day, and we were out there. And at the end of the day, the federal judge, he suspended the trial. In other words, they lost. The feds brought the temporary restraining order. See, folks, there's something called prior restraint. And maybe some of us don't understand that. In the Constitution, you can't have prior restraint. In other words, they cannot make a law or a rule to prevent you from doing what they think you're going to do. All right? It's not a crime until you do it. So let's say we wanted to go block the door. Let's say that's not our plan, but let's say we were going to go block the door. Well, they cannot issue a restraining order to keep us from the door for fear that we're going to block the door. If we block the door, then they arrest us. We violated the law. They don't need a temporary restraining order to do that. And that's really what was at stake yesterday. They wanted the temporary restraining order to become a permanent injunction, meaning no one. I'm sorry. Am I okay, Jared? Somebody just called me on my phone. Let me grab 2 minutes here with Rusty. Rusty.
Hey, bud.
It's Rusty Thomas. He's the National Director of Operation Save America. I'll get you when we get down to clinic, Rusty. Just kind of your feelings on what's going on, where we are right now.
Well, Coach, you know, we've had a lot of legal challenges, you know, coming in. Okay. You
Devil's
know.
Mad.
No, he is. And he's been entrenched. You know what I mean? And, you know, God's people are showing up. You know, we're fighting the good fight,
right?
And a lot of things are setting in motion, and things are just, you know, blowing up here and there and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a great battle raging, brother, and it's raging in the heavenlies and it's raging here on earth. And there's legal, you know, complications and things of this nature. But the good news is this, Coach, our first really prayer and desire before God is that sidewalk would be preserved for the locals so they can continue the ministry, you know. And
the feds wanted that thing shut down, and the feds didn't win, right, Rusty?
Well, it's not just that, Coach. The city government wanted that thing shut down, and they didn't win. And now the feds stepped in, and they did not win. And so the Lord really was very gracious to us, Coach.
Yeah.
We got this victory. Now, we still got some music we got to face.
But now the sparks are going to start flying, because yesterday the clinic was closed. Today the clinic's open. Folks, here's what we do. We're going to go to the clinic. We're going to go to the hospital where the doctor has privileges. Some of us are going to go to the doctor's neighborhood and hand out literature. We are going to be all over the city of Louisville, Kentucky. All right, Rusty.
Well, Coach, we're hitting this from every angle.
Hundreds of us.
Yeah, hundreds of us. We're hitting it from every angle. We got mercy ministries. We got prophetic ministries. We're working behind the scenes with the state government. We're getting that bill of abolition. So, brother, this death camp is besieged on every side.
Brother, it's coming down.
It is. It's not, Coach, you know this. It's not a matter of if. It's just right. A matter of when.
For us to give the significance of this being the last freestanding abortion clinic in Kentucky, this would make, if we get this thing closed, this would be the first abortion-free state in the union.
Well, brother, that's a dream worth dreaming, okay? But we also, Coach, you know this, we got seven states with one death camp remaining, okay? It's like the house of Saul and the house of David. The house of David, God's people, the church is rising, we're going up, and the house of Saul, the death industry is going down, okay? But what, Coach, we do have to make this distinction. This is not just about getting rid of that last remaining death camp. because what God demands is justice.
Yes, sir.
He demands justice. So we got to do this right, Coach. You know what I'm saying? And so
not just close it, but that's the end of it, man.
Yeah,
no more.
We got it. We got to treat it for what it is. Yeah. It's a crime. It's called murder, and it needs to be penalized by law. And that's why what Pastor Matt taught last night is so vital to our vision and mission, brother. So I think God's given us a good plan, brother.
That's right.
It's biblical. It's historical. And if we'll just keep, you know, pressing on, Coach, we're going to see great things happen.
Okay, Russ, we got a rule here. Let me say this, Rusty. You're a no hair, I'm a gray hair, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell how I'm excited about the number of young people that are here, man.
Oh,
makes me want to weep, you know?
It does.
Talk about that a minute.
Honestly, Coach, and this was something, you know, we've been sowing in our youth. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We're a multi, you know, kingdom, multi-generational ministry. You know, when we know we got this obligation before God to pass this baton to the other generation, to the next generation coming up. Let's go over here, Coach.
Hey, Rusty,
so,
I just want to say thank you for what you're doing.
Hang on a minute there, Vince, so he can hear you. Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, Rusty, I just want to say thank you for everything you're doing. You rock, and we're going to put the last stake in this vampire and end it forever.
Amen.
But we got to bring the next generation along, don't we?
Yeah,
Rusty?
And this is what's so good, guys. The last couple of months, I've been hearing from some of our OSA young people who are calling me of their own accord, no demand by the older generation, of their own accord. And I believe, Coach, honestly, it's by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
He's moving upon our youth, and they want to step up. They want to take ownership for this battle. And so, Coach, we got 100 young people.
Psalm 78, Jared. Find that. Psalm 78. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so what's happening, Coach, this week is their platform through social media.
Yeah.
To reach out to their generation, call them to Christ, call them to vital service for their King, and literally like a corporate Moses, Coach, they're saying, "Let my generation go."
Rusty, we're going to miss all the fun. We got to get rolling, man.
All right, I love you, buddy.
Hey, folks, I want to say this while Rusty's here. There's nobody in America doing what Rusty's doing, what Operation Save America is doing, and nobody doing it. You can give all the money you want to that big old church you go to. I'm going to tell you. There is nobody putting boots on the ground and doing effectively what Rusty and Operation Save America are doing. So I just want to say that if you got a few dollars to throw away, don't throw it away to that big church you got. Throw it to Operation Save America because doing great, great stuff down there. But promise you that.
God
right?
bless you.
That's Rusty.
Love
see
you,
man. I'm going to jump in the van. They're all looking, all right. Making faces at me. See you there. They're all making faces at me now because I'm late. Everybody else has rolled on down. Anybody got anything to say as I'm jumping in here? Thanks for popping in there, Vinny. Folks, we're live and in color. Where are the two girls?
No.
We're worried about some of our crew. We got lost. Hang on. Go ahead. Anybody out there? Let me plug this in here. I think Ray's driving himself down there.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, George.
Coach. Man,
George,
this is super encouraging.
I ran into Bruce last
Ruth?
Night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're bragging up and down about you, Georgie. Go ahead, man.
Well, man, I brag on them. I tell you, this is so encouraging because, you know, this gives us the hope that we need. And we'll be the prayer support today. Even though we're not physically there, we'll be the prayer backing.
I would say this, folks, if you haven't been here, listen, I'm going to turn this right now towards Gary. And, Gary, you keep driving, okay?
Nine.
Because we got about a 20-minute drive. Gary, you just talk about what you've seen here, Gary, just these first – you've been here a day, man. You and your wife, Deb, have come down from Dalton, Ohio. Gary's been a good Salt and Light Brigade guy. In fact, he's one of the guys that's helping us get everything organized. But Gary's something different about being here, isn't it, man? You're up.
Oh yeah, for sure. The energy down here is amazing. There's a lot of the energy is terrific. It gets you going. It gets your heart going, and really tests your spirit. You're among like-minded people, more like-minded than I've ever been before, for such a large group. And when we were at the federal courthouse yesterday, it was just there was a lot of different tactics being used, a lot of prayer, a lot of singing. A lot of
witnessing.
Street witnessing going on, and it was excuse me while I stutter a little bit. I need to watch traffic. And then the evening service, when we the people that were speaking and speaking into our lives and teaching us some of the history of what has gone on and how we need to go forward. It was amazing listening. What was it, Tim?
Matt Torella.
Oh my gosh, what was our eyes were being opened to was amazing. And there's a lot there to be learned. There's a lot that we need to do. We need members. We need people to join in, be active.
Boots on the ground matter, Dr. Garrett.
It sure does. It sure does. And it's where you learn. It's where you you really test your faith. And it's outside the four walls. We need to be engaged. And just
families. Somebody in the back said,
oh,
families.
Oh my gosh. It was amazing the number of families. The children, are really inspiring. And the young people and what we saw and how they participated. They weren't sitting back. They were active, the young people. And that's where it's at, right?
Speaking to that generation, right?
Sure. And, we have a lot of gray-haired people around, but we need to rise up and bring in members that are young, energetic, have the faith, and know the truth about what is going on in our government and can see it.
And confront it.
Yeah, and willing to confront it.
I'm going to get you off. I don't want to wreck.
All right.
I don't want to wreck. For those of you who don't know, Gary, I'm sorry. Gary was talking about, excuse me, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Pastor Matt Torella is here. He said last night. Sergeant.
I just want to add that we're going to have Matt as one of our primary speakers at our boot camp in Wisconsin, October 27th through 29th. So those of you who really want to learn, on the ground with the guy who is the expert, come to the boot camp.
Great reminder there, Sarge. Appreciate you doing that. And most people, my wife, when we went back to the hotel last night, I put it on Michelle, but can't hear without the microphone. Michelle said, my goodness, he needs 2 hours himself. Because when he started talking last night about, I'm a word guy. You guys have figured that out, right? I'm a word guy. Words matter. Words mean things. Words have power. Using the right words is critical. That's why they went from homo, sodomite, to gay. Words matter. Well, when Matt talks to the average person who's never heard it before, and they talk about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, I kind of gag. Because I know people, they don't know what doctrine means. They don't know what magistrate means. They don't know anything. They don't get it when he talks about the doctrine. I said, quit saying that. Quit calling it the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Start calling it the lower authority steps in when the upper authority gets it wrong. That's what the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is. And Matt did a great teaching last night, but he needs more time to be able to expound upon it. And the doctrine of the lesser magistrate simply means this. The president, the federal government, is the ultimate authority. However, when they mess up, the lower magistrate, the next guy in line, has a duty to say no, no. So when the federal government says that abortion is legal, the state of Ohio needs to stand up and say, no, not here it isn't, not here. That's called the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And what Matt is, he said he has now sold over 20,000 books, basically hand-to-hand to legislators and leaders around America, trying to awaken them to the idea that courts make law. Courts don't make law. And we have to stand up. We have to push back. And Matt said last night, until we kill that beast, that the federal government and the Supreme Court in particular is the final arbiter, until we kill that beast, we will never rescue America. He said it's beyond abortion. You look, they've destroyed marriage. They've destroyed the family. They've destroyed education. They've destroyed everything that they put their hands up to. And how have they done it? They've done it through bad judicial review, bad laws. Courts do not make law. Roe versus Wade is not the law of the land. It is not the law of the land. You understand that? That's what Matt spoke about last night. Now, my mind just flipped over, and I remembered I told Jared to bring up Psalm 78. Jared, can you pull that up on the screen? Let me see if I can find it. And I would like maybe somebody to read it when I tell you to, because we were talking about the young people and the importance of the young people. Maybe I can get, maybe Jared himself can read this thing. Jared, let's pull it up a little bit more, Jared. I think it, verse 5 is where I want you to start, Jared. Verse 5. Okay, okay.
I'll do it if you like.
Okay, Vince, you do that for us, buddy. Start at verse number 5, because this is why we're talking about this tag team handoff to our children, and why we're also encouraged, because we've got to hand this off to our children. If the next generation doesn't get it, pardon the French, we're screwed. You understand that? And we know that for years and years and years, the enemy has been after the next generation. That's why we see all these crybabies out in the streets, and the colleges are destroying everybody. Psalm 78, verse 5. Begin there, Vince.
For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
Okay, what's the commandment, Vince? The commandment is make these commandments known to your children. Okay, go ahead.
That the generation to come might know them, even
the
children.
Know what, Vince? What might they know?
They might know the laws.
That's right, the commandments. That we dads, teach it to your kids so that they might know them. Go ahead.
Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children?
Yeah, now stop a minute. I don't think you guys are slow learners, but stay with me. What's he say? I gave a law to daddy. Daddy, you teach the law to your son. Son, you teach it to your son. So daddy's words and wisdom get through the son to the grandson. This is a generational thing.
Exactly.
We've dropped the ball on this, man. That's what JR is trying to do with the Family Foundation, the Natural Family Foundation. Daddies teach. What's that? Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Teach your children well. Remember that? You guys remember that? You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by and still. Anyway, teach your children well. Teach your children well. Keep reading, Vince.
You got it. Verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not, my stupid thing, set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
There you are, brother. That's us. That's us. See, our generation, we knew the laws, but we didn't teach them to our children. We let the government schools do it. We let Sunday school teachers do it. And what you're seeing down here, the fruit of Operation Save America, has always been very family-oriented, very kingdom-oriented, very family and kingdom-minded. Going in a tunnel. Hope I hold the signal here. And we're seeing the fruit of it. These children are now rising up, and they're taking the mantle from their daddies. Hey, folks, I'm not blowing smoke. You have to be here to see how many young people are here and how actively they are involved in it. My wife just said amen. Give me a thumbs up, Debbie. Michelle, thumbs up. I'm not lying. Gary, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth.
So, the thing about the lower magistrates is the lower magistrates can only do their job if they have the support of the people. And we really need to step up and support the population.
Yes.
We need to recruit people to believe in the Constitution. And we got to support them. Otherwise, why should they stand up?
See, Matt, I'm sorry, Gary. Matt Coella said this yesterday. Listen out there, folks. He said the most neglected group in America are of elected officials. Christians never go sit down with their elected officials. And Matt used an example last night. He said, listen, go sit down with your local sheriff and ask your sheriff what his oath of office was. He says, it doesn't matter who the sheriff is. It doesn't matter. The sheriff will say, well, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Okay, Sheriff, let me ask you something. Where in that Constitution does it say that we can kill babies? Where does it say that in that Constitution? And he won't be able to answer you because it's nowhere in the Constitution. So then you begin to challenge him and say, well, listen, you took an oath. I'm just a citizen. But you swore an oath before God that you were going to uphold the Constitution, and you're not doing your job. And Pastor Matt said that these elected officials, believe it or not, they're looking for people who will support them, people who will be the water under the boat, if you will, people who will come. See, we cannot expect a governor to make a righteous decision if the people aren't in support of him. So we have to begin a grassroots movement. Instead of top-down government, we have to begin bottom-up government. From the bottom, from the people saying no, no, no. And that's the entire doctrine of the lesser magistrate. So we're about 5 minutes out. I'm gonna show you a beautiful picture here, because you remember yesterday, I think, it was yesterday. I was talking about my buddy Jim Kraft and the beautiful river that he lived on down there. We're coming right down right now. We're making a big curve, and I'm going to turn my phone sideways. And I want you to see that those of you who live in Cincinnati and live in Gallipolis and even live out clear by Pittsburgh and out by Wheeling, here we go. Get ready. I'm going to turn. And all of a sudden, you're going to be able to see that same massive Ohio River, that exact same river. See, the Bible says that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, the river of life. Can you see that massive river? This home of Muhammad Ali, this home of a lot of great people have come out of Louisville, Kentucky. And we believe that right here in the heart of Louisville, Kentucky, with this massive, there it is, there's that massive river to our side, that the river of life, river of life is going to flow out of Louisville, Kentucky. Again, we believe that, folks. Anybody want to jump in here real quick? I'm kind of running on. Gary, my buddy Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
Gary's from, let me take his helmet. Gary's from New York City. Go ahead, Gary. Talk loud.
When we say that these children have been raised on the streets, we don't mean they're homeless. We mean that they're being raised to go in front of abortion clinics and give the gospel in the streets. They're being raised on the streets. Doesn't mean they're homeless.
Right.
It means that they're trained to share the gospel on the streets where we all should be.
So, Gary, you've been in this movement for how long, Gary?
Since 1989.
Been coming yearly to these events.
28
years, 1989, wow. Yeah. Fighting for the lives of the preborn. And, man, listen, this is a long haul. We're in it for the long haul. Let me put this back in my ear. We're getting into traffic. Look at that river! Look at that thing! Huh? Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a riverboat. My. Anybody, I'm sorry, do you want to jump in? I think you should have gone there, but we're all right, Gary. Gary's doing a great job here. Nobody? Nobody wants to say anything? Let's do this, Jared. Let's pull up Matt Tawella. I got a little tape there, Matt Tawella. It's about 6 minutes. And this is a speech that Matt gave in Milwaukee. He's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a speech, a 5-minute speech he gave regarding the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. If you will, go ahead and play that, Jared. It's about 5 minutes long.
The voice is strong as thunder will be heard across the land, calling to the magistrates to save our neighbor man, who wearing robes as black as sin have stained our soil red. The voice as strong as thunder will be felt across the land.
So that wise word, we got that.
Next, we invite to the stage faithful minister of the gospel here in Milwaukee for 30 years. He's been standing out and organizing people to get involved in defending the lives of these little preborn babies. Despite much persecution, affliction, slander, backstabbing, people that have called him everything under the sun. Amen. How many of you know when you stand up for righteousness, people are not going to like you? Oh, yeah. Amen. You know that, so you better prepare yourself for that. And this is a faithful brother who's endured much affliction, spent months in jail for defending these little babies in faithfulness to our Lord. And I want to invite him to come and speak and share his heart here. Minister, Pastor Matt Tawella.
I consider this a holy convocation. You're standing on the very ground where the jail was. You understand that? This is the very where the courthouse was. That's the church that was being built that they got the beam from to break the jail door down with. So this is a great gathering here today, and I'm honored to speak here. And I thank God that I'm here as a part of this. Because this bloodshed needs to be brought to an end in our nation.
Yes.
It's an honor to stand where men stood against injustice 150 plus years ago and call upon men in our day to do the same. Today in America, most people think that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of everything that is constitutional or unconstitutional. I'm here to tell you it's a bald-faced lie. Our founders viewed it as something quite the opposite of what the lawyers have proffered for themselves in this country, this idea that they're the final arbiter. Truth is, our founders viewed the judiciary not as the strongest, nor did they view them as the final arbiter. Rather, the founders stated that the judiciary is supposed to be the most helpless, the most harmless, the weakest, the least dangerous to the Constitution. And of course, all that's been turned on its head now. Now all the other branches bow down to the judiciary and act as though we should stand by while babies are being butchered just because the Supreme Court said so, denying their duty. If that's the case, America has thrown off a monarchy and replaced it with an oligarchy. We now have social transformation without representation. Jefferson warned of it 200 years ago when he saw the judiciary begin their walk of despotism. He said to an early judicial supremacist, Jefferson said, "You seem to consider the judges as the final arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy." He went on to state, "The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confided with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots." And that is what the Supreme Court is in the United States. They are despots. And they are not the final arbiters. As Jefferson stated, the Constitution has erected no such single tribunal. Now men will forbear, and so we should, but there comes a point where forbearance becomes sin. There comes a point where forbearance becomes cowardice. There comes a point when men realize that we no longer have the convenience of acting indifferent towards the unjust and immoral actions of our government. And I submit to you that the lawlessness of the judiciary should not be forborne. I submit to you that the murder of the preborn should not be forborne. The men of 1859 were different than the men of our day. In our day, every governor bows down and bends over to the judiciary as they intermeddle with every aspect of our internal policy in states. They accommodate murder, they accommodate the perversion of marriage, and they'll accommodate boys in the girls' shower rooms too. But the men of 1859 were of a different caliber. The legislators and the Supreme Court justices of our state of 1859 understood their duty. They confronted the federal tyrant, the beast that it was and that it is, and reminded him that his authority has limits.
Yes.
And the duty of our state officials in our day is no different. Their duty is not to accommodate or bow down, but to interpose through the preborn. The men of 1859 not only declared in the resolution that the unjust and immoral Federal Fugitive Slave Act was without authority, void, and of no force in the state of Wisconsin, but they openly checked the federal tyranny by stating resolved that the government formed by the Constitution of the United States was not the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, but that as in all other cases of compact, and that is what the Constitution is, a compact of the states, the federal government, among parties having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself. And that is what our state magistrates should do. They should see that this ruling of Roe v. Wade regarding the Supreme Court is not right according to the Constitution, and they should uphold their oath that they took for the Constitution and defy the federal judiciary. The Supreme Court is the tyrant. They are lawless. We are under the despotism of an oligarchy, and this lawless authoritarianism of the federal courts must be broken, and it will only be broken by the interposition of the state magistrates. May God help us. May the Lord help our magistrates. May God help us to demand of our magistrates that they do right, and that we rally with them when they do. May Christ our Lord be praised in the earth. God bless you.
Is that better? Can you hear me now? Sounds like Verizon. I just had to step up here real quick. Here's what I met a new groupie this morning.
Hi.
She's from Connecticut. I was walking through the lobby. She says, "Oh, I love your video. What's your name?"
Lorna.
Lorna never thought she'd make it on Coach Dave Live, but here she is, all the way from Connecticut. They've come to live around the world, Lorna.
Oh, wow.
You look pretty this morning.
Okay.
You're doing okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So folks, I just want you to show you what's going on right here. We'll kind of get a good pan in behind. Here's some policemen behind us. You always know that you're
safe, right?
You always know you're safe when the U.S. Marshals show up. I don't think this is Matt Dillon. Doesn't have a cowboy hat on. But we got all kinds of federal marshals. Right here is the abortion clinic. I walk over this, guys, if I just keep moving. And so here's the clinic. And these are what we call the death squirts. The death squirts are the ones that they want to come out and they support the slaughter of unborn children. Again, I always ask ourselves, when I look at them, ask yourself this, how the heck are they winning? Look at them. How do they win? They're all young. It's that same. How you doing, bud? Same. There's some of them here. And then here's some more of them over here. You see that? So right here's the big restraining order. This is the thing that they've been arguing about this whole time. This little line right here that we're not to block the entrances. That's why all these police officers are here. U.S. Marshals, city cops, who knows what else are here. Mainly to get a big federal order to say that we're not allowed to be here. Well, that didn't pass. So we're all just beginning to gather down here right now, trying to give you a feel for what's going on. Here's some of the good guys down here. And what we'll see, Ante's got the PA set up here. There's old Tyrell. He made it again. Let me get out. Hey, Tyrell. These guys, huh? I don't know what they got a sign they're holding. This is just right in downtown. We're in downtown Louisville. Tyrell's got a sign. See, I ought to be able to touch this and make it go the other way, and I don't. The Tyrell sign says, "Never forget that everything Hitler did in Germany was legal." Huh? Everything Hitler did was legal. It's happening in America. Over here, we got a preaching and singing. And we're going to have music, praise and worship and music down here all day long. We understand that our battle's not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So we take prayer and praise, right? Prayer, praise, fasting. We combine all those in the spiritual realm, right? But then it has to be lived out in the natural realm. You can't just pray about it and think things are going to change. You have to pray and act. Where would we be today if Jesus had just prayed in the garden? What if he said to his father, "Nah, I'm not going to go to that cross. I'm just going to stay here and pray. I'll keep praying forever if I have to. And then maybe some good things happen." No, he prayed and he went. See, prayer propels you forward. That's what happens, folks. Prayer propels you. I just saw something I got to go get a picture of. Anybody want to jump in here while I'm walking down through the crowd? Because we're just getting started here. I see an interview waiting to happen, if I can get over. I'm going to get over. I'm walking across the street. I'm going to go over here and interview real quickly Eva Adel. And I'm going to explain to you who Eva Adel is before I get over there to her. We're on the streets in Louisville, Kentucky right now. Eva Adel, you can see, sitting over there by herself right now. She's behind the white car, so you can't see her. There she is. You can see her head. Eva's an 84-year-old Holocaust survivor. And Eva has given her life to the preborn, to the protection of the preborn. And this would be a surprise. She doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I'm going to come over and grab this interview with her very, very quickly if I can. 84 years, been arrested more times than I can even imagine. Miss Eva! I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're live around the world, sweetheart. I know you're in the middle of texting something. I'll wait for you. I've explained to everybody who you are and what's going on. Explain to us, Eva, if you can, what you see in regards to what happened in the Holocaust and what's going on here at these abortion clinics.
Yes, be glad to. When I was a little 9-year-old girl, I was placed on a train. I was placed on the train to be shipped to an extermination camp. And I wish that then the good Christian people of my country would have gathered in front of the gates and would have pled for our lives, but nobody did. I was here in Louisville on Mother's Day, May 13th.
She's arrested. She's one of the 11 arrested.
I did what I wished somebody had done for me. So before God, I could not stand and not do what I'm really called to do, to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. In my country, we were considered to be non-human or below humans, and therefore it was okay to torture us, dismember us, and kill us. And our country is no different. Just because it's American law, that doesn't make it right before God. It was wrong then, it is wrong now. And if anybody had come and tried to rescue us, you would consider them to be heroes nowadays.
Mm, that's right.
Then they would have been considered to be the criminals. So why we are here now considered criminals when there is no difference? Human beings are human beings from the moment the first spark of life happens, when sperm and egg meet of human beings. So I pray and hope that America will wake up, that mass numbers of people will come and risk their freedom. You see, they may want to make an example out of us now, and I'm not afraid. I'm in God's perfect will. But you may be afraid that you may be made an example of just if a few people come. But what if there are thousands of people who are willing to be arrested, to lay down their lives for the lives of these others? Our government would cave in. They would not arrest everybody and incarcerate everybody. And perhaps finally this ungodly Roe versus Wade decision would be abolished in America. You know, America is full of blood guilt. God holds us accountable for the innocent bloodshed. When it's illegal to kill babies in the womb and a person kills that child, they are personally responsible to God. But when a nation condones it, the whole nation is culpable and responsible before God. We all suffer under the judgment of God. Unless we repent, that innocent blood cries out for justice. Unless we repent and finally abolish abortion in America, we will pay for it eventually. We already under certain ways of judgment, chastisements from the Lord. But we can be totally destroyed. It would just take one bomb or one terrorist, whatever. And don't forget, the Bible says in Proverbs, he who closes his ears to the cry of the needy will someday cry and not be heard. We may be silent now while these little innocent, voiceless babies are dying. But our nation is aging. We don't have enough children growing up to keep Social Security going. Guess what our government that doesn't respect life will do? Of course, they will find an excuse to legalize the killing of the sick, the elderly, infirm. It's already on the horizon. Remember Terri Schiavo in Florida? Mm-hmm. They starved her.
That's where we met.
That's where we met, right. They starved her and dehydrated to death. I know what it's like to be starved. I was in a starvation camp. I know what it is to go without water. It's excruciating. And don't you think that they will do that to the elderly and the sick? They surely will. They're already doing it secretly. I have seen it happen. So I plead with all of you, if not for Jesus' sake, do it for your own sake. Do it for your children's and grandchildren's sake. Step out, get in front of those clinics. And stand in the gap for those babies and help the mothers. How can you help them? By staying at home in church. You have to be on the scene. You have to be willing to take them into your home. You have to be willing to do something to help those that really don't have any other way. But most abortions are done out of convenience because we have become a very selfish society. And just because you want a college education doesn't justify killing your own offspring. Just because you have just bought a new truck or car, I see that all the time. And what breaks my heart the most is that church. I saw a church van come with a whole youth group. They all had the church shirts on, and with the youth group leader apparently taking a girl to an abortion to support her. I offered help, and what they said, well, you can help by paying for it. Mm. And when I said, don't you know this is murder, they said, well, read your Bible, it's all under the blood. And then I reminded them that willful sin has consequences. Yeah. And one boy said to the other, I want to take her out. And they called the police and tried to get me arrested for harassing them by telling them the truth. So people, wake up. America, it's late. It's very late. We have right now, I believe, been given a period under a government, or at least a president, that's more favorable to us. And if we don't take advantage, that season will be very short. It will be very short.
We will miss our time of visitation.
We will have missed our time of visitation, yes. I beg you, get involved. Please don't be afraid. You know, I my son and all my children, they're so behind me. My son is rejoicing. Somebody said, are you afraid for your mother? He said, no, she's in the perfect will of God. They are rejoicing that their mother at 82 is still stepping out and doing what is right. So come on, God and you, it's impossible. You know, it's impossible to kill you if you're in perfect will of God until God says, come on home, your time is up. So step out. And suffering, when you know that you're in God's perfect will, you don't fear it. Because he will help you to endure whatever you have to endure. In this country, you're enduring nothing yet. My goodness, they starved me, they beat me, they raped me, they did everything. I'm still going.
Amen. Still rescuing those.
Still rescuing those. And you know, my own mother, was after she escaped from with us from the death camp, she went back and rescued others. So if my little mother could do it, so can you do it by just simply laying down your life for a few hours and being out there and being a witness for Jesus Christ. And let's turn this nation around. Maybe we'll still have a little period of time where we can be freely proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in this country and all over the world. It's difficult when you're under a tyranny and you get put in jail or in prison for preaching the gospel. Get out of the church walls.
Coming to a city near you, isn't it, Eva?
Yes, and you will have revival like you never had in your soul. And I wouldn't trade my life for anything. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Prison or no prison.
How many times have you been there?
I think 45 times.
45 times.
Jail, not jail, prison. Sure. But now I'm facing prison, right. I guess. I don't know what's going to be. But I'm not afraid.
No.
No.
You've been set free from that prison of death, hell in the grave, haven't you?
Yes, when I was 9 years old, I was set free from the fear of death.
Amen. Praise
and
the Lord.
And so nothing can harm you as long as you're in God's hands.
Amen.
Love y'all.
Bless you, Eva. God bless you. Is that something, folks? Hey, Jared, how much time do I have? What time is it, Eva?
Wow. Amazing.
12 minutes. 12. Unbelievable, huh? Hey, folks, that's not just some woman on the street.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And she goes everywhere she goes. She tries to warn people. This happened in my country. We just saw the sign over there. What did the sign say? Everything Hitler did was legal. And that's why we're emphasizing so much Pastor Tuella's doctrine of the lesser magistrates as a way for us to shake off these shackles of the federal beast that has descended upon us. Pastor Matt told us, and I would agree, he said, we don't have to worry about ISIS. We don't have to worry about Muslims. We got to worry about the federal government. That's the greatest threat to liberty in America. And I think there's a lot of truth there. Let me open it up. Anybody got anything to say? And as I'm speaking, I'm going to turn and let you see the crowd behind us over on the street on the other side. I crossed over. So there, that's what's going on the other side of the street. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Man, you know, that was profound. That, wow, I'll tell you what. That's really the message of this nation is we have limited time if we as the Christian people don't do something. That day of visitation will leave. And I know that's a call for me. That's a challenge to me to do even more. I'm sitting here thinking, how can I do even more? Because I feel like really in the whole scheme of things, I'm doing so very little compared to what I could be doing.
George, I feel the same way, George, and I'm just surrounded by just a lot of people. I want to encourage a lot of people who agree with us. We got my buddy here. Let me switch things around here, man, real quickly. Ken Scott. Ken Scott's well known in this movement. Ken's from Colorado, Denver. Ken's been in and out of jail more times than you can count. Learned how to
serve as his own attorney. Ken, you're speaking to the world here. Here's your microphone. Just okay. What would you say here today, Ken, about?
It's first off a privilege to be out with Christian warriors, because these are the people that know that we're supposed to get out of the church and speak for those that can't speak for themselves, that are being innocently led to the slaughter. And right now, this is a historic moment right here, possibly. Most people don't realize it, but this is the last abortion clinic in the state of Kentucky. And right now there is a momentum going with lesser magistrates and a lot of the people that are part of the government here, all the way down to the police officers, can see that abortion's wrong. And there may be something here that we are going to be surprised about. We don't know what God's doing.
Just make ourselves available, don't we, Ken?
Exactly, and it's a privilege to be out here. And the problem with the church, in most cases, they're hiding in the church instead of getting out where they need to be the salt light.
We're either afraid or we've been miseducated, right? We believe it, as Matt said last night, we believe this to be the law of the land, to be legal.
Right. Well, the powers, who do we fight against? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And those high places are court systems, and they've taken over. Planned Parenthood has bought politicians, and these politicians turn around and appoint those judges and appoint people to high positions and power. And right now, we've got to continue to speak out against it and expose them. It's like Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the fruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's what we're doing here. We're showing what these graphic pictures of what babies look like when they're ripped apart.
You know, Ken, you and your wife, Joe, do great work in the Denver area. It doesn't come without sacrifice, Ken. We don't wear it as a badge of honor, but Ken, how many times have you been in jail?
Well, over 70.
Over 70 times in jail.
But the thing is, I have a testimony, like most people have a testimony. Yeah. And when you're giving so much is required. And I mean, I was wheeling and dealing in real estate at one time, wanted to be my own God and power.
Wanted to be Donald Trump.
Yes,
huh?
That's exactly it. And I got a giant spanking from God, and he says he chastised those he loves, and he loved me last. Basically, I paid for an abortion in 79. I never told anyone about it. I had a girlfriend I was slipped out over, and she said pay for it. I couldn't talk her out of it. I went to Planned Parenthood, sat in the parking lot, knew it was wrong. I went to church twice a year, but I didn't act like it. And then
you're smart enough to know that was wrong, right?
I knew it was wrong inside, but, you know, it's just those things. The world is still tugging at you with a woman that says, whatever.
Sure.
And the whole thing is, 1990, I went through a second divorce, and I was ready to commit suicide, and only by God's grace did he give me another chance. And at that point, I knew I wanted to be a missionary. I didn't know where I was going. I wanted the front lines, though. I was ready for Iraq, Iran, China,
Russia. You found it, didn't you, brother?
Yes, and the Lord laid on my heart, because I'm not better than these people here. And God can forgive any of them. And we have to remember, as much as we're angry about this killing of innocent babies, that those are lost people that God wishes none to perish and go to hell. And there's what the church has forgot, though, in Ephesians, in the book of Jude, verse 22 is what the church wants to talk about all the time. With love and kindness, you can lead some of these people to the Lord. But 23.
They're pulling out the fire.
Yes, you're supposed to. The fear of God. You got to tell them about hell. Tell them you need to repent. There's judgment coming. You can't hide. And,
amen.
And you can pull them out of the lake of fire, and some of these people can get saved. And
amen.
And they can have the testimonies, too. They can, just like that woman, Carol Everett in Texas, with blood money, that owned an abortion clinic down there and was part of 30,000 abortions and got saved.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Ken, we're running out of time. Folks, okay. This is these are the kind of weirdos. Look at this big guy. Kind of weirdos you run to. Bless you, Ken. We'll get that testimony later on there. Hang on. Oh, look what Deb's brought over here.
Barb, this is the size of a 10-week-old.
Hang on. Let's wait so they can hear you up here. Deb, go ahead.
I just ran into Barb, and she has some of these. She gave me one. This is a 10-week-old baby. Everything is intact. Arms, legs, 10 weeks old. I just wanted to show you.
Yeah. So the lies that they've told us, right, folks? The lies that they've told us. It's just a blob of tissue. Actually, Debbie, they sell those body parts. They sell those little hearts and those little eyes.
I have small hands.
You're a nurse, right?
Yeah, you trained as a registered nurse. And it fits in the palm of my hand. Fearfully and wonderfully made.
12 weeks?
10.
10, that's 2.5 months.
10 weeks.
Thank you, Debbie. How much time I got, Jared? How much? All right. Anybody want to jump in here? Listen, folks, I can take this little camera around here, and I could go to person after person after person, just like Ken Scott. Debbie Pierce is a trained nurse. She brought that little baby over. She's a trained nurse. And she, you saw what she said when she's held that little thing in her hand. She couldn't believe it. And see, so much of what they told us is not true. And as we try to do here in the queue all the time, try to say, listen, what you don't know may kill you. And what you do know may kill you, but certainly what you don't know may kill you. Somebody jump in here. Help me wind this thing up here this morning. Sorry, I can't see y'all. It's real good. Just start speaking. Jump in here. Ray, you made it over here. Ray, jump in here real quick, Ray. I see you, bud. Just unmute yourself, Ray. Ray's on the other side of the street from me. Ray, tell him what your experience has been here for a couple of days. You're muted. Oh, he can. He's just on the phone. He can't speak. Okay. He's hearing us. Nobody else wants to jump in here? I just saw my buddy Mark Jans just pulled up from up around Columbus, Ohio. He drove down here just today to be part of it. Folks, I just want to ask you, well, trying to figure out how to end this show today. We can't miss, as I just said to Eva, Miss Eva, we can't miss the time of the Lord's visitation. And I'm telling you, the sparks are beginning to fly down here in Louisville because all of these God haters have been counting on the courts. Again, the courts. They want the courts to always bail them out. The courts to always give them the opportunity to be able to murder babies. And yesterday they were rebuffed in the courts. The courts said, no, sorry, you can't do that. That was a, by the way, praise and worship, fasting outside that courthouse. The heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. And so we're out here today, cops everywhere, marshals everywhere. And I promise you this, something big is going to happen here because the other side is unhinged. And let this go across a nation. Everybody understand this. All the negative action is going to come from them. It's going to come from that other side. They'll do everything they can to try to inspire us to push back or fight or do whatever. We're not going to do that. But if something happens, they know abortion's going down. If we can end abortion here in Kentucky, we end abortion, as Rusty said this morning, 7 other states have only 1 abortion clinic. And that's what the battle's all about. So appreciate you joining us here. We'll be out here all day. Ask that you pray for us. I got an email. Somebody says, Coach, you need some money? I don't need any money, but I have some people with me who could use some. If you want to go to CoachDaveLive.com and give us a donation, certainly I'll give it to Gary. Needs some money. He doesn't need money, but Gary paired his way down here. Some of you could help Gary with his and Ray's over there. A lot of people, a lot of needs. Most of the people down here, these guys, they're just the street rats, ministers. They jump in trucks and they drive around and they live out of their trucks and they live out of their vans. I'm not making this up. I'm going to, over the next few days, I'm going to let you hear from some of these people. Folks, this is the church. When they tell you the church is dead, no, 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 no. You're looking at the wrong thing. This is the remnant church, and we're on the streets here in Louisville, Kentucky. As we go to break here, Jared, as we end the show here, go ahead and play that little video I just got, Courts Cannot Make Laws. About two minutes done by Michael Peruca. Courts Cannot Make Law. Go ahead and play that, and God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you Monday morning. Oh, no, tomorrow morning.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal, it's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you won't question. They know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows this emperor has got no clothes. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law.